Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. Okay, Andy, can I have that slide back up? Thank you. The comedian, actor, journalist, and activist Russell Brand has made many controversial headlines over the years. Most recently, he's been accused of sexual assault by five different women, all of which he's denied. He has been questioned twice by police and cancelled by the general public. And it was in this backdrop that Russell Brand announced in March that he'd become a Christian. Shortly afterwards, newspapers published photos of him being baptized by Bear Grylls. Unsurprisingly, the story was greeted with much cynicism by media and public alike. Was this the latest in Brand's rebranding? Was this the classic version of the sinner has come home, until the sinner once again goes wild? Even Christians wrinkled their noses in suspicion and wondered if Brand's conversion was just another publicity stunt. And yet, as we start our new sermon series, we'll see that helping people who have fallen far to get up and start again is exactly what Jesus loves to do. And that includes each and every one of us here this evening, whether we know Jesus personally or not. Well, as David said, we're going to spend the next few Sunday evenings looking at the wonderful story of the Samaritan woman. You may know her as the woman at the well or the bad Samaritan. Multiple sermons have been preached on this woman, but there is fresh truth in Scripture each time we turn to it. So let's just pray together as I start that we're able to learn again from the story this evening. Lord God, you've given us your Bible. as your word to teach us, correct us, rebuke us, and train us in righteousness. So tonight, as we hear a story that may feel familiar, please help us to listen with humility. Please remind us that our hearts are quickly hardened into shapes that aren't like yours. And change us so that we find you for ourselves and recognize that you are the one who gives us living water. Amen. Well, like Russell Brand, the Samaritan woman would not have been one that people would have selected to represent the sort of person Jesus would hang out with. For some reason, we often think that Jesus only picks people whose lives are all sorted out, even though the Gospels clearly show us that he delights in doing the opposite. John himself, the author of this Gospel, tells us at the end of the Gospel that the stories he's included are specifically to help us understand who Jesus is. So this story of the Samaritan is also a sign pointing us to a fresh truth about Jesus, so that we may have life in his name. I love this passage we're looking at this evening. Did you know it's the longest private conversation Jesus has with anyone in the Gospels? I love that it is this most surprising of women who he chooses for this encounter. We're going to be thinking about the story in two parts. First of all, Jesus meets us in our mess. And secondly, Jesus offers us a gift. So Jesus meets us in our mess. What do we know about Samaritans? The most famous example in the Bible is, of course, the Good Samaritan. He is the unlikely hero of one of Jesus' stories. His legacy today includes the Samaritan's Charity, which offers help to anyone who needs someone to talk to. However, if you were a Jew in the time of Jesus, the Samaritan would not be someone you would want to turn to talk to. A Samaritan would be someone you would steer away from. Jesus tells us in verse 4 of the reading that, John tells us in verse 4 of the reading that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He's leaving Judea in the south and he's traveling towards Galilee in the north. And if I was an old-fashioned preacher, I would have a map up now, but I don't. So you have to imagine, here is Judea, here is Galilee. And he had to go through Samaria, which lay between the two. But, you know, for Jewish people, this was absolutely not an option. Jewish people would prefer to take a route all the way round Samaria, adding hours to their journey by doing so. Why? Because history meant Samaritans were people to be avoided. They were considered unclean. So let me give you a little history lesson. After the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel 700 years previously, those of the Israelites who were not deported intermarried with Assyrians. In other words, at this point, the people of Israel became a mixed race as they married other people. They were half Jews in every sense of the word. They only used the first five books of the Old Testament, and they had to have their own temple as they weren't allowed to worship in Jerusalem. In Jewish eyes, and maybe it's hard for us to imagine in some ways, Samaritans were even more hated than pure-blood Gentiles. Jews believed that Samaritans had polluted the blood of the patriarchs. We're not told what Jesus' disciples think of his controversial choice of route through Samaria, but my guess is there was some eye-rolling at the back of the pack. So it's in this context that they arrive in the Samaritan town of Sychar. Jesus sends his disciples off to find some food, and he sits down next to a well. It's noon. The sun is high. Jesus' mouth feels like a cotton wool ball. The town lies quiet and dusty in the shimmering heat. The only sound is crickets chirruping. And then a woman appears. For us, if we're familiar with the story, and even if not, there's nothing strange in a woman appearing. She's carrying her water jar on her shoulder, and she's heading for the well. But for the townspeople watching her approach the lone man at the well, multiple alarm bells would have been ringing. We'll listen to those in a minute. And you know, if Jesus was as insightful as rumors claimed, he should have known exactly what a woman coming to the well alone at noon meant. This was a woman no respectable man should communicate with. But what are Jesus' first words to her? Look at verse 7. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" There are two things we can learn from this question. It might not feel like a big deal, but it really was. First of all, we know here this evening, with the benefit of hindsight, that Jesus was fully human, so he really was thirsty, but he was also fully God. He could and did carry out miracles. If he was thirsty, he could have clicked his fingers and the well would have produced a water fountain feature for him to satisfy his thirst. So the question feels a bit unnecessary. But secondly, and most importantly, Jesus asks this woman at this time, in this place, for a drink. And he breaks all sorts of social and religious rules by doing so. Onlooking people might have muttered, "Doesn't he know that a holy God has a problem with him asking her for water?" Let's look at why. I've already talked about the problem of race. For any respectful Jew, let alone a rabbi, a teacher like Jesus, merely acknowledging a Samaritan would have been huge. The Jews even had a saying that if you met a Samaritan walking along the road, you should walk into a ditch to avoid making contact between the two shadows. There is also the problem of religion. John tells us about this in verse 9 when he adds a casual set of brackets, "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." But this is about more than not associating with them. This literally means that if the woman gives Jesus a drink, he will become ritually unclean because they'd be sharing a drinking vessel. That's why she says to him in verse 9, "Hang on a minute. Don't you understand that you shouldn't be asking me that?" Then there's the problem of gender. As a woman, one of the things I love most about the God I worship is the way he treats women. He does not see us as risks, liabilities, or burdens. He affirms us and builds us up. And for many of us as modern Western women, that's to be celebrated, but also somewhat expected. But for this woman, at this time, in this context, it was unbelievable that a man should talk to her with respect. This man was looking at her differently from how other men looked at her. Surely she was accustomed to being rejected rather than treated as one who was being asked to help. And that brings me to the problem of her sinful lifestyle. We'll hear more about that next week because Jesus himself brings it up later in the conversation. But for us this evening, what do we see? She comes to the well alone in the middle of the day. Most women came as a group. It's a social activity. She comes in the heat. The other women have come before the sun gets high. This woman is ostracized by her contemporaries because she has moved from man to man. Her past now defines her in every way. She carries it like a badge of shame into everything she does and the pattern of her life. But for Jesus, the Son of the Holy God, the one who should have been top of the class when it came to knowing God's rules, these are not what he sees as she walks towards him. He sees a woman whose head is bowed in shame, alone. And he says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" What do we learn about Jesus as he does this? I believe this shows that he dignifies the woman. For a woman who is marked as much as this one, the very fact that Jesus asks her to help him is huge. Jesus could have said, "Hello, I see you're sinful and your life's a mess. Well, lucky for you, I'm the man you've been looking for. I'm the saviour who helps people to be set free from their sins." But instead, you can't really imagine Jesus doing that, can you? Instead, he meets her from a place of vulnerability and he asks her to give him something. He makes himself the one who's weak and needy as she walks up to the well. He doesn't display his divinity, he shows his weakness. I wonder if that in itself is what stopped the woman from turning and walking away before even entering into a conversation with him. Because when people feel dignified rather than reprimanded, they're more likely to open up. There's a lesson in here for us, if we're Christians, as we talk to people with the good news of Jesus. I don't think we should start by telling people what they don't have and what we can offer them. Instead, we allow people to share who they are first. We show interest and listen to their story. We find Jesus doing this on other occasions, when he invites himself to Zacchaeus' house, for example, when he allows a prostitute to wash his feet. Jesus meets us in our mess. But more than that, he doesn't start off by pointing out the mess. He starts off by walking into our lives alongside us. I wonder what it would look like for us to become more vulnerable, walking alongside people and showing them the same grace Jesus showed this woman, even when we disagree with them. In John chapter 3, a man called Nicodemus comes to find Jesus. He's a Pharisee, a man ticking all the cleanliness boxes. When it comes to unmessiness, Nicodemus beat the Samaritan woman hands down. In many ways, he looked like a very unsurprising man for Jesus to hang out with. But God's grace means that although this woman wasn't looking for Jesus in the same way as Nico, Jesus met her anyway. This woman comes to the well. She brings a whole heap of baggage with her. Jesus looks at her, sees a woman who's thirsty for meaning and a new start and love, and says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Secondly, Jesus offers us a gift. There's a surfing shop in Anglesey which is famous for missing famous people. Its owner, Dave Buckland, tells the story of how a few years ago a young woman came into the shop to buy a wetsuit. He had no idea who she was. He gave her advice, she tried the wetsuit on, and she decided it was good. She went to pay, but didn't have her card on her. She asked Dave if she could put the suit behind the counter and come back later, and he said, "Yes, what's your name?" She replied, "I'm Mrs. Cambridge." For Dave, that was the end of the conversation. Later on, Mrs. Cambridge came back and picked up the suit, and that was that. Except this time, someone recognized her as the Princess of Wales. Dave said if only he'd known who she was, he would have got a photo for the shop window and business could have boomed as a result. What makes this story even worse is several years before, the actor Jude Law came and bought a wetsuit and a bodyboard, and Dave didn't know who he was either. In Dave's words, "I'm not familiar with celebrities." As the woman asks Jesus if he understands what he's asking her, Jesus explains it's more than that. He tells her she hasn't understood who he is. Look at verse 10. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." What this verse shows is that so often we can't see who Jesus is or what he can offer us. We're expecting him maybe to do things in the way things ought to be done. Or maybe like Dave, the surfer shop owner, and the Princess of Wales, we're just not expecting him at all. Maybe our baggage or our preconceived ideas get in the way. Unless the woman can see Jesus for who he is, she will never ask him for what she needs. Unless the woman can see Jesus for who he is, she will never ask him for what she needs. Right now, for her, he's just a rule-breaking Jewish man. In fact, what Jesus is saying here is that her inability to see beyond the surface is directly connected to her spiritual condition. In the coming weeks, as we look at this conversation further, we'll see Jesus dismantling the spiritual stumbling blocks that prevent her from recognizing him. And for me, this story is a beautiful example of the way Jesus does this, because he always does this. He meets each person where they're at, and he gently shows them what's blocking their ability to see him. So we've looked at the cultural context of this woman and why she was so controversial, but Jesus looks deeper. Jesus looks at what's going on in her heart. I believe what Jesus is doing in verse 10 is recognizing the woman's thirst and offering her a gift. He's saying, in effect, it's not me that should be asking you for a drink. Actually, you should be asking me, because you're thirsty and I can satisfy your thirst. We each here this evening have a cultural context that means we need Jesus in different ways. Our cultural context is who we are. It's where we come from. We're all carrying different preconceived ideas and different baggage from our past. But also, we all have a theological context. We're all looking for living water. It all started in Genesis 3 when we tried to satisfy our thirst in ways that didn't include God. There's a verse in Jeremiah 2 verse 13 that describes it like this. God said of his people, "They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns," it's like water tanks, "broken cisterns that cannot hold water." All humans are desperately thirsty for direction, for purpose. We're all looking for answers because nothing satisfies for very long. And what we know about Jesus if we follow him, and what Jesus tells this woman, is that he is the gift of God, because only he is the one who quenches our thirst. Jesus freely offers us the gift of living water tonight. Living water is the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, filling us and satisfying us in the places where we're most parched. We're going to spend a few moments reflecting on what I've talked about before we sing and ask the Spirit to fill us again this evening. So I'm going to ask Stu and the band to come up, and then we'll spend some time thinking through what this passage teaches us. Isaiah 12 verse 3 says, "Come, you who are thirsty, and drink. With joy, draw water from the wells of salvation." Unless we can see Jesus for who he is, then we will never ask him for the gift that we need. How do we see Jesus for who he is? We ask him to show us who he is. We study what we see of him in the Bible, in passages like this. What does it show us? Who is this Jesus? We allow our hearts to be humble and soft so he can show us where we might have built broken cisterns. What might be stopping us from seeing who Jesus is? Lord Jesus, please move our spiritual stumbling blocks so that we can clearly see your grace. Have we allowed Jesus to walk alongside us in the mess that we live in? Lord Jesus, help us to have the courage to let you show us where you can help us, and the humility to say sorry when we've held you at arm's length. Jesus offers us a gift, living water, a life of fullness, acceptance, transformation, and abundance with him. Lord Jesus, please help us continue to be transformed by you, not to be tied down by rules or expectations or an idea of you that's not true. God of surprises, continue to surprise us. Amen. Well, we're going to sing in a moment, but please, if what we have talked about has made you want someone to talk to you, then please don't hesitate to come and speak to one of us on the team. If you'd like prayer, there'll be prayer ministry at the back of the church. So please do make your way back there and someone would be delighted to pray with you.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.